Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Gospel of Matthew. Watch as Matthew, a one-time hated tax collector who is consumed with living just for the moment, is transformed into a powerful instrument for God. All because Matthew found Jesus, the one true Messiah of Israel and of the whole world. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, the coming of the Son of Man, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. We're not supposed to set dates. You guys know that. But we are to be privy to the signs and the season. You might want to mark in your margin here, Matthew 16, verse 3. When Jesus got all over the scribes and Pharisees, and he said, you guys know how to discern the face of the sky. Remember, red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning. Why were you ever a sailor in the first place? You remember how that saying goes? That's how it goes like that. He says, you guys know that one, and that's not a big deal for you. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. With your eyes, glance back up to verse 32. Let's remind ourselves about a mega end times Bible signpost. Learn the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is a literal fig tree, to be sure, but it also stands for a model of Israel. So, for you note takers, in Judges 9, verse 8 through 15, Jeremiah 24, verse 1 through 10, Isaiah 66, verse 8, Joel 1, verse 7, and Hosea 9, verse 19. You should probably mark that in there. So when he's saying, watch this parable of the fig tree, he himself said parable. What is a parable? It is a story that illustrates a truth. Now, he's speaking of a fig tree in the natural. When you see a fig tree and its branch has already become tender, or it's kind of springtime, it's no longer hardened for the winter weather, but it puts forth leaves, you guys know that in the natural, hey, summer's not far away. And he says, now remember, this is a parable. And the fig tree in its symbol form would be Israel. And when you see Israel bloom, or if you will, come into existence, I hope you have there in your margin, May 14th, 1948. Because that's when Israel became a nation again, the first time in 19 centuries, since the Romans kicked them out in 70 AD. He said, now when you see it happen, you know that the summer is near. Verse 33, so you also, when you see all these things, know that it, my return, is near, even at the door. Assuredly, I say this to you, that this generation will by no means pass away until all these things. Don't forget the first portion of Matthew 24. The six and seven seals of the book of Revelation, wars of rumors of wars, etc., 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 ethnos rising against ethnos and nation against nation. And they start like birth pains. And then they get closer and closer together until finally they're practically one on top of the other. And the generation that sees these things will by no means pass away until it all happens. And by all, we mean the book of Revelation, even chapter 19. Let me rephrase that for you. When Jesus comes back in Revelation 19, after the seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowl judgments are all done, and all the armies of the world are gathered in the valley of Megiddo, Har Megiddo, the valley of Megiddo, and they're all there, and the Antichrist is leading the whole bunch. And then in Revelation 19, Jesus says to us who've been with him for 7 years of a beautiful marriage feast of the Lamb, he says, "Let's go, guys," and down we go on horses, literal horses. Jesus says something, and then all the people who didn't receive him but received instead the mark of the beast, those are the ones that with a word from his mouth, they all are gone instantaneously around the whole surface of all the earth. When that happens, there will be people alive who were alive in 1948. That's what Jesus is saying here. They just celebrated their 69th anniversary of May 14th, 1948. And this year is the 70th year. Well, how long is a generation? That's a really good question. You might want to write Psalm 90, verse 10, which says that the generation of a man is 70 years, or 80 if he ate non-gluten diet. Or if by strength it says maybe 80. 70 to 80 years, but are there humans that live to be 100? Could be that as well. The point of it is, there's not that much time left, Harvest Family. One more time, verse 36. But that day, the coming of the Lord, if you will, the rapture, that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And the book of Mark chapter 13, verse 32 says, nor the Son. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus is omniscient. I thought Jesus was God. He is God. Well, then he's supposed to know all things. You have to understand Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Let me read it to you. Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That's the key word. Remember, we read English transliterations of the original language of Greek that the New Testament was written in. And so that word there for no reputation, I bet that the translators had to pause and scratch their head and sharpen their quills. What is this word? The word there is kenoo. Kenoo is the word, and the verb form is kenosis. What does it mean? Emptied himself. The best way I can explain it is he left his star-making tool belt in heaven. Remember, he humbled himself how far? To the cross. And when Jesus Christ was here, his first time, his first advent, he is like us. He is not omniscient in this current form of finite human being. It's a crazy thing that humans have a hard time wrapping their brains around. Is Jesus God? Answer, yes. But for the space of 33 or so years, he left all of his omniscience, omnipotence, and everywhere present abilities. He hung it on a nail, so to speak, in heaven, zipped up a human suit, was born, and that's what we're celebrating in the season. When he was here, he did not know the future. But of course, he was crucified and killed, but he raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Now does Jesus know all things. Now verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and playing Candy Crush and marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what's going on here? What he's saying mostly is, it's going to be business as usual. Marrying and giving in marriage, you know, and it looks like same old to me. But also, if you're sensitive to it, I think there's a more literal understanding as well. Well, what was going on in Noah's day? By the way, the judgment of the flood was going to come, right? And how long was he hammering on that huge ark? If you do the numbers, it's about the same measurements as the Titanic. Did it flood the whole earth, Pastor Steve? Yep, the whole earth. Ha, say some. You mean higher than Mount Everest, you know? Oh, oh, oh. Well, then where did the water drain off to, smart guy? Psalm 104 tells us, when the judgment was done, he lifted up the Himalayas and all of those others, lowered the ocean basins, and that's where we have the oceans the way that we do. And that's also one of the reasons why humans lived for almost 1,000 years. There are good and satisfying scientific answers to everything the Bible talks about. Here's one of them. Why is the youthful skin plump and no wrinkles? I was watching television the other day, and I was holding it like I do with my clicker in my left hand and then a beverage in the other hand. There's Pilot Steve in his pilot chair. And I look down at my, and there's these little wrinkles. Not little wrinkles, there's lots of wrinkles. I'm all, what? When did that happen? Probably about 4 beverages ago, probably. The point of it is, I'm not getting any younger. And you know why that is? How is it that this DNA strain, unzip it right down the middle, mitosis, and then recombine DNA in a perfect fashion? It's a wonderful study. Well, one of the reasons that it knows where to go, the 4 amino acids, guanine, adenine, cytosine, and thymine, yeah. I'll take useless information for 300, Alex. Gattaca. When they come back together, one of the ways they do it is a little substance called telomeres. And when you're young, you have buckets full of telomeres. And when you get older, your telomeres, they're not too good. And they don't recombine as well as they used to. And the aging process at its most basic level has a lot to do with telomeres. And do you know what the number one killer of telomeres is? Solar radiation. It's not just what's coming from the sun, but what's coming from space as well. Super high-speed particles are banging away at those little telomeres, and when you start losing your telomeres, you start getting wrinkles, a little punch, and you need you some of these right here. Before the flood, planet Earth was a very different place. The animals, the flora, and the fauna grew to staggering proportions. And Noah really built a boat that's roughly the size of the Titanic? Uh-huh. Him and his 3 boys, how is that possible? You didn't see those boys. You've seen the dragonflies frozen in a fossil form, and their wingspans are 2 feet. You see insects and various other creatures that were huge proportions. Why? Because before the flood, planet Earth was a very different place. And one of the byproducts was humans lived a very, very long time. After the flood, God said, now humans are going to live maybe about 100 years or so, and that's in fact where we are. Unless you live in Sparks, your life expectancy is a lot lower. Fernley. Not Fernley, I'm just messing with you. Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, Noah was the last generation before a great judgment of God, right? We are the last generation before a great judgment of God, the book of Revelation. So Jesus probably cited Noah in the sense of, it's going to be like status quo, everybody's going to be marrying and giving in marriage, etc. I have seen 4 similarities in a more literal understanding. What do you mean? There was a population explosion in that time before the flood. Now let's think about this. How long could you have babies if you're living to be 900 years old? You can have a lot of babies. Actuarial charts of typical diseases and wars and so on. And you put it all together, and you know what? Did you know that it's very likely that the population of planet Earth about the time of the flood was about 6 to 7 billion people? As of October, there are 7.6 billion humans on the planet. So there's some similarities there. Number two, there was widespread sexual perversion going on before the flood. That's Genesis 6, verse 4. Remember, it was so pervasive. The humans were so open to sexual shenanigans that God said, stay away from. That the Bible says some demons or fallen angels were having sexual relationships with human women. And bizarre freaks were born to them called the Nephilim. Today, through political progress, quote unquote, and certainly the internet, the number of people in the glow of computer screens and telephones late at night, all manner of perversion is viewed and consumed. John Wayne said the D word in his movie The Big Trail, 1930. Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara, that was Victor Fleming's movie, that was 1939. And you know when the first D-bomb was dropped in TV by actress Doris Packer as Miss Pringle on My Favorite Martian? How many of you remember that one? Yeah. 1965. You remember Mr. and Mrs. Brady? Yeah. Were the very first married couple ever featured on screen as sleeping in the same bed. Now what is available to be seen on television? Newsweek, February 1990. The Episcopal Church encourages homosexual union as, quote, a pathway to personal holiness. Are we somewhere near where it was before the flood? Anything goes sexually, and so it does today. And the church is largely quiet on the issue. And number three, the mind and heart of men was, quote, evil continually. That was Genesis 6, verse 5. Basically, ibid everything I just said. And anything goes today. Number four, widespread violence filled the earth in Genesis 6, verse 11. And we have seen an uptick in violence, I think, now more than ever. Last century, we had two world wars. 70 million humans destroyed in the second one. Psychology Today, quote, the average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and witness 16,000 murders on television by the time they are 18. Media violence has gotten more graphic and sadistic. Most violent acts on TV go unpunished and are laughed off, as in the days of Noah. It really means everything will be status quo, or so people will think. But I think along with everything God says, there is a literal fulfillment as well. By the way, there was somebody else in this flood. Genesis chapter 5. Facing this first great judgment, the flood, there were three groups of people. There was the people that wouldn't listen to Noah. 100 years he was putting that ark together. People walking by, Noah, what you building? A boat. Yeah, well, the water's way over there. Why are you building your boat here? Because it's going to rain. But remember, before the flood, it never rained. Water didn't fall from precipitation as it does today. Water condensation in clouds that has been lifted up in the ocean, driven by the prevailing wind currents, and then reaching a certain humidity level and dropping its water on the continents. That water cycle didn't happen before the flood. It's going to what? It's going to rain. What's rain? Yeah, well, about that, I don't think I know myself. But God said it. I believe it. and I set my life on a course because of it. Imagine the big guffaws and deep belly laughs of the naysayers walking around. He's building a boat in his yard, and the water's way over there because it's going to waterfall out of the heavens. Never happened before. Uniformitarianism. Did you go to school? Nothing ever changes. Until it started to flood. And then the Bible says they all rushed the ark. But who closed the door? God did. So the three groups of people, just before that happened, they were facing a major judgment of the Lord, a worldwide judgment. There was a group of people that didn't believe anything that Noah said. They're going to perish. There's a group of people, Noah, Mrs. Noah, and the three boys and their wives, they're going to be supernaturally sealed in and protected through this judgment of water. And there's one more group. It's one fella. You want to see him? We're in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch, verse 21, he lived 65 years and he begot Methuselah. Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. Verse 22. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Now that is fascinating to me. Before Jesus' finished work on the cross, where now we can come boldly before the throne of grace, any of us, was it kind of cool to walk with God? Ask the high priests who went into the Holy of Holies and didn't do one detail exactly right. The Talmud records three such high priests died on the other side of the veil and had to be pulled out. Okay, you go in there. I'm not going to go in there. You go in there. I'm not going to go in there. Because before Jesus paid for all sin, the presence of the Lord was a fearful place indeed. Not for Enoch. Check it out. And Enoch walked with God. Hey, that's kind of a New Testament sort of description, wouldn't you agree? How many of you walk with God now? And Enoch walked with God, and now watch this. And he was not, for God took him. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived, whoa, 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 whoa. What was that? God took him? What do you mean he took him? Enoch is a model of the church. Here comes God's judgment barreling down the eschatological train track. Three groups of people were the last generation. There was almost everybody who didn't believe anything that Noah said. They're going to perish in the judgment. There is Noah and his family. He's going to be supernaturally sealed, right? 144,000? The Jews. And there's one group, albeit one fella, he goes out before. There are people that say, nah, the church goes out in the middle of the tribulation. Church goes out at the end of the tribulation. Church doesn't go out at all. If it's really important, God will represent it several times and in several locations. And the rapture is so important, it's all through the scriptures. If you'll see it, here's one. Today, like in the days of Noah, there are three groups of people, aren't there? There are the people that will not listen to pastors or teachers or the Bible. Noah was a preacher of righteousness and no one was listening to him. They're going to perish. And there's a group of people that are going to be supernaturally sealed. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And they literally have a seal on their forehead that all of the judgments don't touch them. And there's another group of people modeled by Enoch who will go out.
You've been listening to the Gospel of Matthew with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding that Jesus is the promised Messiah of God. It was that life-changing truth that turned Matthew's life around and restored him to his true calling, from serving self to serving the Savior of the world. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.